I'm going to be talking today from 1 Kings chapter 22. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 22. It's the story I want to talk about today. I feel like the Holy Spirit put it on my heart about a week and a half ago. It's a story about, the first part is about King Ahab and how he was the king of Israel and he wanted to go out to battle the Syrians for some land. And the king of Judah was named Jehoshaphat. So they got together, it was Ahab's idea to go and fight. And it's a long story. It's a really good story. If you get time to read 1 Kings 22, it's a really good story talking about false prophets and lion spirits. And it's really interesting. But I just want to focus in on this one part. When they went out to battle, Ahab told King Jehoshaphat, "You wear the royal apparel. Let everyone know that you're the king. And I'll dress just in regular battle gear," because he didn't want the Syrians to know that he was the king. It was really a setup. I don't know how Jehoshaphat didn't see that, but Jehoshaphat put on the royal apparel. When they went out to fight, the Syrians said, "Listen, all I want is the king of Israel. Just get the king." And so as they went out to fight, the Syrian army saw Jehoshaphat and thought he was Ahab, so they went to get him. Ahab began to cry out, "And I'm not him. I'm not the one." I don't know what he was crying out, but it says he cried, like, "Please, I'm not Ahab." So the point that I'm getting to, so they didn't bother Jehoshaphat. And so even though Ahab disguised himself in regular battle gear to not look like the king, the Bible says that in 1 Kings 22 that there was someone who had the bow and arrow and just randomly shot it. And Miss Gab, if you want to read that verse, please, in 16.
"But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, 'Wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded.'"
You see how that happened? The Bible says that someone randomly shot the bow and the arrow, and it just randomly went between the joints of the armor and struck the king anyway. Even though he tried to hide, that arrow still found him. Even though he tried to hide, even though he tried to disguise, that arrow found him. And so the Holy Spirit wants to talk today about being wounded in battle. Let me pray. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that it was come forth this morning to bring healing and understanding and deliverance in your name. Amen. I want to talk today about being the power of a random arrow, and also want to talk about having gaps in your armor. Now, the armor was put together in those days where it had a gap, but I'm going to be talking about spiritual gaps. Because whether you know it or not, we are in a battle. You know, we're in a battle in our own heads, first of all, because we have to bring every thought captive. And these thoughts can come, I don't know about you, but they can come like a AK-47 sometime, one after the next, after the next. And so it can get very tiring. That can be a wound right there. You can get so wounded in your mind fighting the battlefield of the mind, fighting all of these thoughts that come against what God says about you, till you get wounded. You know what that is? It's called depression. It's called depression. These thoughts come so much till you're so tired of just thinking. You can get so tired of hearing thoughts that are, and then sometimes they're not even your thoughts. Sometimes the enemy slips stuff in there. It's almost like bait. He'll slip some bait in there to see if you're going to actually bite it. You know, he'll have you till you actually start. At first, you're fighting him and you're saying, "No, I don't know. I don't receive it. I don't receive it." But after a while, the attack is so on and on till you start to agree with it because you're tired of fighting. You're wounded, so you just say, okay, maybe you're right, devil. Maybe you're right. Maybe nobody does love me. You're probably right. And then you'll crawl up in bed, and then the devil has you right where he wants you. The Bible says that he comes to wear out the saints. So if you've been feeling weary lately, if you've been feeling under attack in this battle, he's coming to wear us out. Because I sent this verse out to a lot of people today that I disciple. I sent it out the other day. When we are tired in our bodies and our minds, that is when the enemy comes in. And so be watchful of irritations and frustrations, because that's when we get in the flesh. Well, God wants us to stay in the spirit. We stay in our spirit and we starve the flesh. When we, every time we do and give in to the dictates of the flesh, we strengthen the flesh. Did you hear that? Every time we let our flesh have its way, we strengthen it when we're supposed to be killing it. So that's why you're fighting yourself constantly, because you're feeding the flesh. Every time we deny the Holy Spirit, he gets weaker and weaker. He doesn't have the preeminence in our lives. So be very careful about that. And the reason I'm pulling out this archer that randomly shot this bow, because the Bible likens arrows to children, but it also likens arrows to words spoken. So I'm talking about random arrows. I'm talking about shooting off random words. Okay? So, Miss Gabby, if you would just read pretty much all of those four scriptures or five back to back.
Yes, ma'am. Proverbs 26, verses 18 through 19. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking.
Did you? Wait, hold on a second. Say that one again, please. Say it like bold, like. Say it
like
louder.
A maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking.
The Bible says like a maniac, like a crazy person, you saying things about your neighbor, and then when you caught on it, you called out, you said, oh, I was just playing. I was joking. You was joking because you got caught. Isn't that something? There's nothing new under the sun. This was written so long ago, but yet it's for today. Because we still do this. We still run our mouth. And then when we get called on it, we like, oh, but I was just playing. You know how it is. That was powerful. Yeah. Go ahead, Miss Gabby.
Proverbs 25, verses 18 says, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor.
You hear that? And it's like an arrow. Like you, in other words, you're wounding somebody when you're giving false witness. False witness, let me tell you something, it's not just an outright lie. False witness is declaring stuff that God hasn't said. Did you hear that? A false witness is declaring something about somebody that God didn't say about them. So let's remember that. Go ahead, Gabby.
Psalm 64, verses 3 through 4 says, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent. They shoot suddenly without fear.
Amen. They shoot from an ambush. That means they're talking all of this mess, and then they hide and act like they don't know what's going on. That's why you know, we struggle sometimes and we don't understand why, you know, we've taken care of ourselves physically. We're doing all we know to do, but then you still feel something on you. And you're like, what in the world is going on? Jesus. You know, oftentimes someone is in ambush shooting arrows at you. And some of the biggest arrows in church that I found are just assumptions. You know, we assume a lot. But let me tell you today, that is a trick of the enemy. He'll have us assuming the worst of one another. when if you just come to that person, you'll find out they're not probably anything like you thought they were. A lot of it is fear. You know, we just fear and we're jealous and we're in the flesh. But we have to pull these things down and think the best of others. I can't tell you how many times growing up I thought people were a certain way because I was told, maybe in school, you may have been told, oh, this person is that way, don't like them. And then if you listen to what other people say, you'll believe it. But then when you go and you talk to those people, you find out, well, they're not like that at all. They're actually pretty cool. And the same thing happens in your house. It happens at your job. My husband tells me all the time of things that happen at his job. And he said the break room will be cutting up and they're talking about different people. And then when the people walk in, they all get quiet. So he said, and then the first person that leaves, they talk about him. And so Kevin's like, I'm scared to leave because I know they're going to get me next. Right? And so, but this is life. This is what people do. And so the Bible says in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So we have to be very careful about talking a lot. Be careful around people that just constantly talk because they're going to say something they shouldn't have said. I keep that for myself. Anybody knows me, I joke and I'm fun, but I'm careful. I'm very careful about saying things that are very, very hurtful to people. I don't want to hurt anybody with my mouth. I don't want anybody to hurt me. But that is a big trick of the enemy. Is there any more, Gabby?
Yes, ma'am. Psalms 11, verses 2. For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart.
Right. They're shooting arrows at the upright. Notice they're not shooting them at sinners. Because there's no need to attack a sinner because they're not effective in the kingdom of God. But the biggest attacks are leadership. Because you know, leadership is trying to minister to hundreds and hundreds of different personalities. And leadership has decisions to make. And they get so often shot and talked about and judged and criticized. You know, I thought about the children's ministry. You know, how often are the ministers and the servants over there, how often are they praised and encouraged for what they do? But how many times do you think people talk about how they take care of the children? It's so easy to criticize. And those are arrows. You may not say it to their face. And this is the whole thing about the bow and arrow. You're doing it behind their back. You're not going to tell Pastor Ray Tanya anything crazy. But you'll get with your other friends who've got little kids and you'll say stuff about it. About how you think it should be ran, or they're not doing this, and they're not teaching that. And I'm telling you, we have to be careful because these are arrows. And they're just random arrows. They're just shooting, you just shooting them out your mouth. Let them land wherever they land. And that's a problem because it brings wound. This title is called Wounded in the Battle. There are battlefields in our house. There are battlefields with our children. There are battlefields with our marriages. And this is real strong in marriage, especially if you're newly married. Sometimes if you've been married for a while, but if we're not careful, we can wound each other with what we say. You know, we get real comfortable in the house. We say things in the house that we would dare not say anywhere else. My son, my oldest son, he's really smart, and sometimes he talks redundantly, and I used to get real sharp with him and kind of cut, Chris, I know you said it okay, all right, okay, you know. And not long ago, the Holy Spirit dealt with me. He said, don't talk to him like that. He said, you wouldn't talk to someone else like that. He showed me that I was having respect to persons. Just because they're my children don't mean I can talk to them like they're stupid. That is the. I was so convicted about that. And when every time I talk to him, I try to stop looking at him like he's a child and like he is. He has a doctorate. He's a grown man. And so I had to learn to respect that. I had to learn to respect my husband and not just talk to him crazy. We do that sometimes. We take each other for granted in the house. We take our wives for granted. We take our husbands for granted. You know, a long time, me and my husband, we've been married 26 years. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And when we first were married, I didn't do it on purpose or consciously, but I was taking him for granted. When he come home, it'd kind of be like a hey, kind of like a come and go thing. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, don't treat guests in your house better than you treat your own husband. He said, that's respect to persons and hypocrite. He said, when people come to your house, you make sure it's clean. You make sure you meet them at the door and you're all happy to see them. You're taking their coat. Can I get you something to drink? Have a seat, right? He said, but your husband come home from work and you don't budge. You don't even get off the phone. You continue talking to your friends and you're just like, hey, hope you find something to eat. That is so disrespectful, y'all. The Holy Spirit told me this. He said, don't treat guests better than your own household. That's a hypocrite. That's like doing one way at home and then coming to church being a whole nother way. We got to be the same everywhere, every time. So when my husband, you know, he start coming home, I make anybody who knows me knows, I would get off of Zoom, Queen Betty, Queen V. I would get off of Zoom. I get off the phone. I make sure that when he comes home, I'm available to him. I meet him, I say, hey, baby, how was your day? I make his food, bring it to him, I do everything. I'm not trying to get no wives in trouble here who ain't doing it. Forgive me, because y'all husbands is probably like, tell her she need to be doing. I'm sorry, y'all. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Amen. Look. All the men said amen. I'm sorry, sisters. It grieves me. We were at the dentist appointment the other day, and one of the hygienists was saying that she was bragging about how she doesn't take care of her husband. I was just like, oh my God. She was saying, you know, your mama made this for you, but I get you a hot dog. And so it was a lot. I said, bless his heart. Lord Jesus. You know, some things ain't a testimony. I mean, I know this generation is all for do-it-yourself, but we got to take care of one another in the house. Come on. And I hear you, Ms. Nadia. Ms. Nadia trying to get it, let everybody know she ready. If there's any single men of God in here, she want to make sure you know she a good one. I'm just playing, Dinah. You know I'm messing with you. Not Miss Nadia is single, and so she want to let you know she's a good one. Oh, come on now. And you know, some of these same attitudes and these same bad words and spoken words, not only are we dealing with that in our head, in our house, but we deal with it in the church. I read something not long ago about how many people are not in church because of church hurt, because of wounds that they received in the church. And I mean, it's a big thing, and it's the devil. That's what he wants to do. He wants to wound you in the church so you get mad at God, get mad at God's people, and just say, you know what? Me and you, Jesus, we'll do our own thing. But that's not good. We're sheep. We come in packs. That's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves that some are going to do in the last days. You know, online is great. The internet is one of the best things to preach the gospel. It can get everywhere, and we love it. We have it here, and people have to work during these times, and so that's wonderful. People are bedridden. That's wonderful. But if there's no reason, you should be in church. The Bible says that, you know, we are a member, a limb. We're not a body till we come together. This is an eye. This is a mouth. This is a foot. We got to come together to make a whole. You got problems. You need people. Where are the elders to lay hands on you and anoint you with oil? They're not in your bedroom. We got to come together for the complete healing of the body. These used to be called love feasts. They used to have love feasts, and all the people of God would come together and love on each other. And so the first thing the enemy wants to do is wound you. And he wants you to feel like nobody understands me. Nobody likes me. I'm just going to do my own thing, or either I'm going to start my own thing. So you go and start your own ministries because you feel like if I'm in control, then nobody can hurt me. But you know, that's a bigger lie. Because when you are in leadership and you are in control of some things, that's when you're going to really get attacked from all directions, these random arrows. So we have to be so careful about shooting off these random arrows. This is very important. Random arrows, and then I'm going to talk about gaps in our armor. The Bible says that in 1 Kings 22:16 that Ahab was shot in between. The gaps in our armor, and sometimes I think we forget when we talk about Ephesians 6, the armor of God, and we talk about the breastplate and the belt and the shoes and the shield and the helmet. Sometimes we can get a picture of these actual things that we're putting on, but it's just a representative of the real thing. We're putting on righteousness. We're putting on truth. We're putting on peace. We're putting on salvation. We're putting on faith. And so this is where the gaps come in. When we're not walking in the Word of God, you have gaps in your armor. And so that way, when you have gaps in your armor, a lot of times it will make you be a baby Christian or a carnal Christian. And a baby Christian or a carnal Christian, and I'm saying this because it's a difference. Baby Christians are new Christians who are still making a whole lot of mistakes and a whole lot of messes, but their heart is, God, help me, teach me, teach me. A carnal Christian is someone who's been in this thing for a while, but they're still immature and acting like a baby Christian. See the difference? God still loves all of us. But, you know, being carnal is definitely not his best for us. So we want to mature. So here's the thing. You have gaps in your armor when you're not mature. And I've been there. We all have been there. You have gaps in your armor when you're not mature because when you feel things and you sense things and you know things and people say things and you get so wounded and you take it so to heart till it makes you where you can't come to church. Or it makes you where you don't trust the leadership anymore. You make it where you don't trust your brothers and sisters anymore because you've been so wounded. I've heard this so many times, y'all. Church hurt is a real thing. But the problem is you can't stay there. We can't stay there. And so many times we want to nurse the wounds and pity-patty ourselves, not realizing you're blocking your own blessing. We cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. And so often we choose to be pitiful. But today, God is saying, we're going to get healing for these wounds. There's going to be healing in marriages where spouses have spoken disrespectfully and wounded one another. We got to let it go. Sometimes we can get so self-righteous and feel like, well, I'm a victim, but I have a right to feel this way. They did me wrong. But that's not a right. That's a wound. Do you see the difference? You're not right. You're not a victim. You're wounded. You just need healing. You just need deliverance. Some people have been hurt by family members, their parents. Some have bad relationships with their moms and with their dads from way back. And they said that they let it go. They said that they forgave, but they still have a little something in them. And that's how you know, because sometimes we'll tell ourselves, I love everybody. I'm not mad at nobody. But when you see that person that hurt you, you get that little thing in here. Well, that little thing is a gap in your armor. We can't have those gaps in our armors. We have to let stuff go. And it's not even your spirit. I believe your spirit forgives. But that flesh, it want to hold on to every little hurt, every little wound. And we have to tell the flesh, no. Bishop taught us something a long time ago. He said, you're going to forgive people, and then the devil going to bring it back up as if you didn't. And you had to tell the devil, no, I distinctly remember forgiving them. I'm not going to receive that guilt, that condemnation. Nope, nope, I love them. But when your flesh wants to keep holding on, you have to get that under the blood, because it's just hurting the body as a whole. You know, there was a song 20 years ago. It says something like, get in, get out, or get ran over. Something, it was a Christian song. Get in, get out. And it was so selfish. It was like, you better get in or we're going to run you over. But God doesn't want us to run over each other. He wants us to help each other and to go together. If you go without everybody, you're going to be missing something. That's why we have to be together and be one. That's why unity is so important. That's why unity is where the oil is poured out. And if the enemy can keep disunity because of wounds and church hurt, we'll never have any oil. We'll never have any healing and deliverance and sign and wonder and miracle. We could want that all day, but if you're going to be sitting in your wounds, we ain't going to get it. And so the emphasis has been on these, I'm wounded. But let me tell you what helped me out of that, because I've been there many times. The Holy Spirit began to show me, yeah, you remember what they did, what they said, how they looked. But have you thought about what you did, what you said, and how you looked? When you mature as a Christian, you'll stop looking at what others have done to you, and you will focus on what you're doing to others. If anyone in here, I want to take a survey. If anyone in here has ever been church hurt or household hurt, raise your hand. Everybody look around. If your feelings ever been hurt for whatever reason, raise your hand and hold it up. Now, keep it there. If you've ever said something you shouldn't have said, hold your hands up. Look around. That is the sign of I give up. Surrender. This is how you truly surrender. Wounds. You recognize, yeah, you can put your hands down. You recognize, yeah, I've been wounded, but you know what? I've been a skillful archer myself. I've been a skillful archer myself. Talking about these gaps in your armor, Pastor Shannon said something at a college and young adults Bible study a couple of weeks ago I was at. And she was talking about Goliath. You remember David and Goliath? It said that David came out and that he was a champion. They called him a champion. So Pastor Shannon wanted to know, why was he a champion? It didn't say that he had won any battles before. And I may not get this correct, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. So she looked up the word champion in the Hebrew. The word champion in the Hebrew means to stand in the space between two armies. That's all it means. It didn't mean that you won a battle. It just means that you stood in a space between two opposing armies. That's what a champion is. So this is the thing. When we have these gaps or these spaces in our armor because of wounds that have not been healed, that space is going to be filled by the devil. And that Goliath, the devil, is going to come and stand in that space between the army of the Lord and the army of darkness. And now you're caught in the middle. Your wound has made a space for the enemy to fill. That's why we have to close the gaps in our armor. That's why the Bible says don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't give him a space to come in. Isn't that good? So we're going to close some gaps in our armor. And that comes by letting stuff go. And realizing, yeah, you know, I don't like the way they look at me and treat me. But, you know, I've done that to people myself. I've said stuff about people I had no business saying. And thank God, his grace and mercy. If it wasn't for his grace, if God just let everybody know what we were saying, I'd be the first. I was convicted not long ago, several months ago. I had spoke to someone a little harshly, and we were doing worship up here. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to go apologize. So I told the Holy Spirit I will later. And I kept trying to worship. I was dry as a bone. He said, you need to go make it right. So I said, okay. So I walked over here, and they were praying, or I think they were like praying. And I told them, I said, listen, I talked to you harshly the other day. I should not have done that. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And the person was so gracious. She was like, oh, yeah, I thank you for coming to tell me that you just, and we hugged, and okay. See how easy that is when you put pride down and admit maybe I was wrong. Some people you just have to apologize. You just apologize. And most people will be gracious and tell you, oh, no, it's okay. Thank you. It's okay. Some are not going to be so. Some are going to have an attitude and act like they don't want to receive it. Fine, that's fine. It's the blood's off your hand. You did what you were supposed to do. Because you got to come to a place where more than you want to be hurt, more than you want to stand in your offense, more than that, you want to love people. Because you know if we love one another, the unity is there, and then the oil will flow. And this is how you get blessing and favor in your life. You let stuff go or you apologize. It's huge. And we overlook it so often, and we're so loose with our words. It's like we got the cross. We have the vertical part. The vertical part is our relationship with God. Oh, I love you, God. It's just your people get on my nerves. You know we said that. You know we have. But the vertical part of the cross is our love for people. And if you're not loving God's people, you ain't got no cross. You got half a cross. And that's why you got half a healing and half a deliverance and half your rent money, half your car payment, half your joy, because you ain't loving people. I've been here before, and God had to tell me that. You cannot decapitate Jesus from his church. You can't have him and not his people too. It's almost like when you were a single parent, and when me and my husband met, I had two children. And you know, when we got together, he understood, if you taking me, you taking my kids too. You can't take me and love me and not love my kids. Any single parent will tell you that. Can't love me without loving my kids. It's the same way in the body of Christ. Can't love Jesus and not love his kids. It don't work that way. We got to take the whole package. You know, there's something in the military called friendly fire. And there's no legitimate estimate, but the closest guess is that there's about between 2 and 2.5% of all casualties in the U.S. military is from friendly fire. Friendly fire is when someone accidentally on your same team wounds you. And so I want to say it's a lot of friendly fire in the body of Christ. It's a lot of friendly fire, but oftentimes it ain't accidental. It ain't random. We want to hurt you. We just don't want you to know we're the ones that want it. We want to see you fail, but we don't want you to know we're the ones that want it. We do. And it is from the flesh. You know your spirit don't want that. That's why I say we have to mature. When you're not a mature Christian, you will obey the flesh rather than the spirit. And your spirit, our spirit wants the best for people. It really does, but our flesh is so strong and dominant, we operate out of that more. So we're going to just continue on. Is there another scripture, Miss Gabby?
You want to read Ephesians 6:16?
Yes, please.
In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Amen. Take up the shield of faith. That word shield in the Greek, it's thureos. And it means to close an opening in a doorway. Talking about gaps. We're talking about closing gaps. The shield of faith in the Greek means to close a doorway, to close that space where the enemy has come in. The shield is closing your gap, and then it's called faith. Why is it the shield of faith and not the shield of salvation? It's the shield of faith because it's through our faith that God knows where we are. He knows what they're saying. He knows what happened. And he's still able to complete the work he started in us. And he's going to take us through it. I have faith that God knows me. So I'm not going to let what someone said or did bother me. You can say what you want. Listen, if what you're saying is coming out of the wrong way, it ain't going to touch me anyway. I'm going to bless you, and it's going to come back on you. Not that I want to see anything happen to you, because I honestly don't. I don't want anything to happen to any of us. We all want the best. So that word shield, so take up the shield of faith. And that's what covers and protects you. There's another scripture that talks about in Ephesians 6 that the shield of faith is quenches the fiery what? Our arrows. See there? God already knows. He said, listen, there's going to be people shooting arrows at you. And I don't want you to get caught up in that. So take up the shield of faith. It'll put it out. It won't touch you. If it's touching you and got you in the bed and got you upset and got you not wanting to go to church, you didn't have up the shield of faith. But it's not too late. It's never too late. God wants to bring healing. I'm going to get ready to close real soon. So if the ministers want to come, the worship team, please. I found out that when you have a wound, when you cover it, it takes longer to heal. And it actually makes a breeding ground for infection. I understand that if you want a wound to heal, it's to uncover it and let the air hit it, the oxygen. Well, I'm saying today by the Holy Spirit, you got to uncover your wounds. Stop acting like I'm okay. Stop acting like it ain't affecting me. Stop acting like my husband didn't say what he said. Stop acting like my children didn't talk to me like that. You have to uncover it. And that means to admit it. You ain't got to admit it to anyone. You need to open your mouth and tell it to the Lord. Tell the Lord, they hurt me. They hurt me. It could be someone in church. It could be someone on your same row. There's people who thought that I was being mean because I walked past them without shaking their hand. But, sometimes it's hard for me to see stuff that's down here because of my contact. And so that's why we just have to really know each other's hearts. When you feel like someone's ignoring you or not appreciating or overlooking you, really ask the Holy Spirit. Are they really trying to hurt me or am I just being sensitive? This will save so many problems and assumptions. So many. When I was in the hospital, about 9 years ago, 10 years ago, for my liver transplant, there was so much, it was so bad. I had post-traumatic stress after that. And for about a year I did, then I got healed. Amen. But in there, I was 600 pounds, almost overnight, swole with fluid. My face was as big as a watermelon. Tubes everywhere. Couldn't talk, tubes everywhere. And I remember some of the nurses were so mean. And one of them was actually jumping on me, trying to stick me. And I was so tired of getting stuck, y'all. I don't want to get stuck no more. So I told her, no, I don't want, you know, no. And she fought me. And I was already kind of weak. And she hurt me. And so one of them pulled me over to clean me. But my skin was stretched that the nerves were so sensitive. Just the touch felt like you were cutting me. And so they would pull me. And I'd say, oh. And they said, well, we got to get you clean. You know, just mean. And I remember when I was first able to go to church, we were in Atlanta at Forward in Faith. And I remember at the altar call, I went forth, and I remember laying on my face crying. And I said, Jesus, they hurt me in that hospital. I said, they hurt me. I said, they hurt your baby. And I just began to cry and just let everything go. And I didn't even realize I had been holding on to it because I had been out of the hospital for a couple months. And I said, they hurt me. And I began to cry and cry. And before I knew it, I was laughing. And God had turned my mourning into laughter. And God began to heal those areas in my life that I didn't even know were still sore. And I was able to move forward. And before I close, I want to share a story that I heard Pastor Dalton share at a meeting one time. He heard it from, I think, Pastor Damien, and they may have heard it from someone else. You know how things get passed around. But it was the story of Jonathan and David. And it's when they were making covenant to be friends and to have each other's back. We can go ahead. And Jonathan was an expert, skilled marksman archer. He could hit a dime a mile away. He was so good. But this is what Jonathan told David. He took his bow and his arrow and he laid it down. And what he was saying to David was, I'm laying down my ability to wound you from a distance. And that's what we need in the church today. That's what we need in our marriages today. We need to lay down our ability to wound one another from a distance. Because we don't too much do it in your face. We do it far away where you won't know it was us. Would you stand with me, please? I know this wasn't very long. But I do want to leave time for people to really let the Holy Spirit search your heart. I want to leave time for people to pray and ask God, am I a skillful archer? Do I carry a crossbow on my back? Am I constantly saying things that I shouldn't say? Help me, God. I give you my mouth. Make me a mouthpiece. Salt water and fresh water cannot come out the same fountain. I can't hate on my brother and love on you. It's impossible, the Bible says. It's impossible. Guard my mouth, God. Guard my heart. Guard my thoughts. I don't want to be an archer in the house of God. Lord Jesus. Or maybe you've been wounded. Maybe you said, well, I don't do that. That's why I'm shocked that it was done to me. I don't hurt people, so I don't understand why I'm so hurt. I didn't sign up for this. Well, I'm telling you, let it go today, please. Give God your, tell him like I told him, God, they hurt me. They hurt me, God. Maybe my child hurt me. My child talked to me a little bit strange. And I wanted our relationship to be stronger than what it is with my kids. But they disrespect me. They don't call me. They don't check on me. They're grown and gone. And it's like I don't even exist anymore. And now you feel a little something there. Give it to the Lord. He'll turn your mourning into laughter. Let's pray. With your eyes closed, let's just really get in our spirit. And I want to ask, if someone is here today and you came because you felt a call to come and you just obeyed that call, you obeyed an invitation, I want to ask you if there's anyone in here that does not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You may have heard of him and know about him, maybe even been to church, but you've never asked him to be Lord of your whole life and make the decisions in your life. I want you to give your life to Christ. Come and pray. If you want, we can pray with you. But please don't leave out of here not knowing if you're going to heaven when you leave this earth. People are dying every day. Young people, 16, 18, 19, 25. If you don't know where you will spend eternity, know today. It's so easy. God made it so easy. Jesus made it so easy to be born again. We just believe in our hearts that he died for our sins. God raised him up. He'll forgive you, fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you can actually walk this life in purpose and in joy. So come and give your life to Christ. There are people that will pray for you if you don't know what to do. And as we continue to just search ourselves, if you really want to be free from your wounds, come and give it to the Lord. Lay it down like I had to do. Let God pour in the oil. Let him heal you so that you can be strong and mature and in unity. As we just minister these few minutes, we'll just give space and time for anyone who may want prayer.